Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 6, Episode 84. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and as you can tell, I'm doing the opening today. That means my co-host, David Todd, is on hiatus today, if you will. You'll probably see a lot of that this off-season here, as usual. You know, once some Steelers news starts coming out again, you know, signings and re-signings and that kind of thing, David will be in more to kind of talk about that kind of stuff. But being as how right now the news is kind of in the dead zone right now before the start of the new league year, you're probably going to hear Alex Cazora sitting in for David quite a bit during the off season here, as usual. So with that, happy Monday, Alex. Welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be back, Dave. And sorry. Did you go to Walmart or something? You're a little sick there.
Yeah. I'm more than a little sick. I'm playing hurt here. I've got that Walmart walking crud, if you will. So I think it's that time of year. So I actually broke down and bought some medicine. So I'm gonna see if I can't get it out of my system, but. I'm going to play hurt today. Let's just put it to you that way. Hopefully a lot of our listeners, Alex, got to hear the last podcast with Dave T. Thomas. It's always an exciting time, when Dave's on. People really, really clamor for him to be on early and often, during the off season, draft season. And we're going to hope to make that happen this year. With that said, every year, and I know it's just not our listeners, I know it's me and I know it's you too. Dave T gets talking about some of these prospects, there's things that I totally agree with him on, and then there's other things, you know, players that he'll leave me scratching my head, so to speak, with Dave T. And it was no different this time around. I know you've listened to it, and I kind of wanted to start this podcast off with, you know, what things – players, things that Dave T had to say that you didn't agree with.
Like you said, you know, during the podcast, we kept things a little bit more general just because we're still early into this thing, and hopefully we're going to have Dave T on several times. I think maybe the big thing that stuck out to me, and again, I need to watch him more, but just the rationale, you know, he was not a big Laquon Treadwell fan, and I know what he cited was the low catch percentage. But that number, I think, can be misleading based on quarterback play, based on opportunity. I mean, I can't say for sure exactly how Dave T, because he's doing his own numbers, is gauging this and measuring that statistic. But I think to look at just a target and catch percentage without maybe considering all the other variables is a little dangerous when you're trying to evaluate a prospect's game.
I pulled some stats from a buddy. I got them from a buddy who works for Stats Inc. Or you know, does rep stuff for him. Treadwell, first of all, he played 83% of the snaps in 2015. He was targeted evidently 127 times. That was ranked 28th overall in the country, I think, as far as targets went. 82 receptions, that was ranked 24th overall. Of course, 1,153 receiving yards. And here's the thing, yards after catch, what would you guess his yards after catch average would have been?
Oh, man, I'm sure he produced some big plays. I mean, overall, you're looking at a good sample size. I don't know, 5 yards after the catch.
Boy, you're on the money here.
Hey, like David Todd.
Some good math to start off with. Actually, according to Stats, it was 5.5.
Okay.
So you're very, very close. 12 explosive plays. Now, I'm trying to remember if I think college counts an explosive play of 25 yards or more.
Okay.
I might be wrong with that. I don't have a definition here. And drops, believe it or not, they only have him down for 6 drops, Alex.
That's not a bad percentage based on the overall body of work.
I mean, you figure, dang, targeted 127 times. We don't know how many. I don't have here in front of me what the percentage of of those targets were catchable. I mean, that's obviously going to play into it. Let's say they were even wrong and they missed, and he had double the amount of drops than that. Let's say that number was 12. That would be 10%. That would, of course, be high. But when you go back and look at guys like Kelvin Benjamin and some of these other guys that you had to drop concerns with, much higher percentage in my opinion. I'm with you. I'm a Laquon Treadwell fan, and I found Dave T's comments about him a little off base.
Yeah, it's just the rationale for me, I think, to focus too much on one statistic. And I'm sure Dave T has some other reasons, but to present that one statistic as gospel, I thought was a little stretching it a little bit.
And boy, that you want to talk about that kid as a blocker, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, physical out there,
yeah.
Right?
You got to be. Receivers got to put their hand on the pile in the NFL. It's not college ball where you got Baylor's offense where those guys can take plays off. Man, you got to be cracking safeties, stalking corners, being an active participant in the run game.
So, needless to say, this guy's top 10, top 15.
Yeah, I think so.
Anybody else stick out that he had some things to talk about that you kind of disagreed with before we move on to maybe some of the guys that you agreed with what he had to say?
Well, Dave, I don't know. I can't say if I personally disagree with it because I haven't really put on the tape of some of these guys, but it was just interesting to see some of his comments about guys like Eli Apple compared to our own scouting reports. I believe Josh Kearney had done the scouting report on Eli Apple and didn't think he was physical enough and a reliable enough tackler, where Dave T kind of is on the other end and embraces that physicality that he has. So you're just seeing some competing thoughts there. I don't really know where I stand. I would really have to sit down and watch Eli Apple. I agree with Dave T's assessment that it makes a lot of sense, just the Ohio State cornerback. You know, we know the Steelers' history on that, probably a little better than what Dave T does. But, you know, that was one that kind of perked up my ears a little bit, something I'd like to revisit.
The thing about Apple, though, is really the inexperience, right?
What's his experience? I'll pull up his profile, the Josh.
I mean, as far as, I mean, he's coming out as what, a sophomore, right?
Let me pull up.
Trying to remember what is.
2-year starter at Ohio State, I think. Yeah, redshirt freshman, redshirt sophomore year. Xavier, redshirt sophomore, yeah. So he's on the younger side.
And how many years is a starter with him?
Two years. So he redshirted his freshman year, and I guess he started the last two.
And do we have the I thought I had that pulled up as well, too, the amount of games with him. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Let's see here what I got on him. I thought I already had this pulled up.
I mean, you
up,
could
I
probably,
guess.
What, Ohio State's probably played, what, 13 games each year, so probably about 25, 26 games, my guess.
96% of the snaps last year, kind of what I'm seeing with him. He did. I don't have the overall amount of games that he played there, but 2 years, I guess. 58 targets, evidently, 24 burns, so 41% completion percentage. That's kind of high for a guy that would be ranked, you know, top of the position group, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, maybe. I'd have to see the other ones. You know, it's all relative. Maybe it's on a little high end. But, I mean, for a younger guy, I'm not sure. Was he taking the number one receiver in each game? Is that going to lend yourself to some more targets? Was he playing maybe the boundary more often? Maybe he was getting some one-on-ones over there. There could be a lot of factors involved in that.
2 touchdowns allowed. Let's see, 9 passes defensed, 1 interception, 33 total tackles. I think 1 service has them broken down as 9 missed or broken tackles there. So that's a little bit concerning right there. And I think he had penalty, a pass interference, holding guard, something around 46 or so. My biggest concern, I mean, look, you got the planet theory, what I like to call the planet theory, you're related to Eli Apple. You know, not too many kids walking around 6'1", 200 pounds, with you know, kind of the athletic ability, you know, as he has. So that's going to make him very, very marketable to teams. My worry is the youth and inexperience there, you know, compared to what he played at Ohio State there. So that,
right.
You know, when, especially when you come to the Steelers like production, right?
Right, right. But they also love their Ohio State kids. It's their home away from home, so who knows?
And I thought Josh did a fair kind of breakdown on him, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of, you know, seeing a rich man's Ross Cockrell. And it was interesting because, you know, the Steelers brought in Cockrell. They played him a ton, and Cockrell was not known for his physicality and his tackling at Duke, and he didn't really show a ton of it in Pittsburgh. So I don't, you know, you never know if one move's a Tomlin kind of driven thing or a Colbert driven thing or what. But, you know, could there be the possibility that they're getting away from that old school, you know, physicality, run supporting corner and trying to get someone with a little bit more, you know, coverage skills? I mean, it, you know, who knows? But, you know, that thought has crossed my mind.
Definitely a guy, you know, I thumbed through some of the videos that you know, Josh had to go through. And, of course, read his entire report there. I think I just want to watch a larger section of games with him.
Yeah, me too.
Because I didn't have this. I didn't. In what I did see, I didn't have this overall confident that's the guy. You know, 25th overall type pick.
Right. Right. Yeah. You got to be. You know, got to be convinced.
Right. And you know, I kind of voiced my concerns about his youth. And look, I mean, let's face it. It would be quite a shock if the Steelers took a cornerback anyway, right?
Yeah, like you said, and like every Steeler fans, I think we've beaten it into their brains. The last first-round corner was Chad Scott in 97, so the precedent is not there.
And if you look back, if you have to figure that Eli Apple, if he did drop down there to the 25th overall, he would probably be the third or fourth corner off the board.
Yeah.
And you know how the Steelers love value. Now, if he's your best player, you know, I mean, if he's your highest ranked player at the time, that's one thing. But odds are probably going to be pretty good that the Steelers would have other players at other positions of need higher ranked there. So, you know, I'm not trying to make this an anti-Eli Apple phase. I'm just trying to you know, kind of let people know where I am on him, and you know, more importantly, where you are on him at this point of the stage of the game, as we will, right?
Yeah, it's all, you know, ideas are going to change, they're going to morph over time. I think the worst thing that a draft analyst, anyone, whether you're a professional guy or the YouTube scouts that we are, is to have an opinion on day one and not have that change at all by the time draft day rolls around.
Let's see, interesting target stuff here. I might share that in a post later on this offseason when it comes to targets with Eli Apple. Who, people that Dave T talked about that you kind of agreed with his assessment?
Well, I know it was really high on Adolphus Washington, and Dave, I got to see him down at the Senior Bowl, and I think it's a guy with a skill set to win. I think he needs to be a little bit less finesse, a little bit more nasty, and try to convert speed to power. He tries to get around guys rather than go through them as a pass rusher a little too much, but I think the tools are there. He's got great hand use. He can, you know, disengage and get off blocks as a pass rusher. I know Dave T was really high on him, so I'm kind of, you know, again, this guy I want to watch more and really put some tape on. But anytime you get a Ohio State guy with that pedigree, the competition, and what I saw at the Senior Bowl, I think everything is there for Adolphus Washington. I think Dave T called him an under tackle, which would be a 3-tech and a 4-3. You know, maybe he could play end in a 3-4. I'm not totally sure what his measurables are off the top of my head. That's a kid that I think is going to be pretty talented.
Borderline first, second round guy?
Yeah, again, it's hard for me to say right now, but I think with that skill set, I think you're probably thinking late first, somewhere in that range.
Anybody else stick out to you that Dave T had you know, talked
about?
Yeah,
I'll give you two other names here. I thought his overall assessment on the quarterback group was pretty sound. Carson Wentz, and then it's kind of everybody else. He's got a couple of late round sleepers that Dave T's looking at. Nate Sudfeld, who in some draft circles, you know, is getting a lot of love as a bigger guy. And then the other one, I think you brought him up, Dave, and you did the scouting report on him, Jordan Jenkins from Georgia. And please don't let the Georgia tag scare you off looking at an outside linebacker. I think you and I are both pretty high on Jenkins. I know Dave T is as well. So that's a guy I'd like to see as a Steeler.
You know, the thing about him, and it seems like, and here, look, we encourage comments on our scouting reports for sure, because look, that's why we do them. Want to learn as much about these guys as possible. But I think the initial reaction that we got in the comments was, oh no, a Georgia player, another Georgia player, and then people kind of wanting to, without watching his tape, kind of poo-poo him as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
But before you get to it, I want to give you my – I don't know how much tape you've seen on him, but I know he was at the senior bowl, so I know you know a lot about him. So let me give you my thoughts on why I – and I probably should have expanded on this a little bit more in my scouting report on him. But I want you to answer to what I have to say, because obviously this stuff isn't staged, you know. So I'm off the cuff here, and then I'll have you kind of rebuttal off here. The thing that obviously stuck out to me first and foremost, I think, was his lack of length, which kind of plus his thickness, which he kind of has that ideal 3-4 tweener outside linebacker build. Second, those arms, my God. And I think you maybe even mentioned that. Did you even mention that, in kind of your initial Senior Bowl thoughts with him was his arms?
Yeah, I think. I have a scouting report of yours pulled up, 34-inch arms. I mean, you're looking prototypical, you know, kind of pass rusher. I mean, that's your guy.
Right, and a nice wingspan. And the thing, too, in the take that stuck out is he uses those arms. You very rarely, and more specifically against the run, and as a in his bull rush, you really see him use that. Because of that, he's able to get separation. I think he's going to be great at the NFL level as a player who can hold the edge against the run. Now the question is how is this guy going to be as a pass rusher? And here's my thoughts on this that I probably didn't drive home enough. He spent a lot of time in that Georgia defense kind of in a 3 or 4 point stance, and a lot of times either a shade inside the tackle or even more as a 3 technique there. You're not going to put up a lot of stats, you know, if you're not turned loose after the quarterback off the edge, a lot. I think that played a lot into it. Now, he also had a groin injury in 2015, and that ate into a lot of his snaps there as well, too. But based on his athleticism, the way he uses those arms, the way I would like to see him use more counters in the passing in his pass rushing skills. But that's my overthought, and because I went that way, here's what I wrote in my scouting report specifically was I think he has a lot of upside as a pass rusher. So now that I've kind of stuttered that all out, where are you on what I said?
Well, as you were talking, I pulled up my notes, and I did watch two games of him right before the Senior Bowl, and of course I saw him at the Senior Bowl. And honestly, Dave, my notes don't differ that much from what, I'm looking over your scouting report, listening to the words that you say. I think just to preface, because like you said, people will kind of immediately groan about Jarvis Jones. I mean, you can't treat a guy like Jordan Jenkins like that. It's not fair to him to compare him to somebody else that he has no control over. I think Jenkins is a better athlete than Jarvis Jones, which is really Jarvis Jones' number one issue of why he is an effective pass rusher. He's a limited athlete. I think Jenkins is not tremendous, but I think he's clearly better. Like you said, I think he's got the prototypical size in terms of the height, weight, the length, which is, I care about length more than I care about height, and I think everybody else should. I think he does need to develop some more counters, but I think he can be a good pass rusher. I think he understands, needing to convert speed to power. I think it took Jarvis Jones some time to understand that, 2 and 3 seasons, to really kind of figure that concept out. He's a Georgia kid, so they did a lot with him, like you said. He has experience dropping into coverage, lining up all over the formation. I think this guy can be something.
Yeah, and he never. I don't think he ever had more than 5 sacks in a single season, right?
I think this past year he had 4, which might have been his career high.
I'm trying to remember what I know he would, never sniffed double digits, yeah. But I think I kind of got the feeling that he could have had he played, because I think he played less than 70% of defensive snaps.
63%. I'm looking at your scouting report right now.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, double that. Double his numbers, maybe, depending on the competition, of course, that he's facing. Mm-hmm. But, I think the key important thing here, too, and when people who are listening to this go and turn the tape on him, go look and see, how he was used as a pass rusher and where he started from. He was down and 3-4 point stances quite a bit, and he was allowed to stand up some as well too. So that'll play in his favor too. Already seeing the game standing up versus being down, mm-hmm. quite a bit will play into his favor as well too. With all that said, I still kind of have third round grade on him overall, with the possibility of him sneaking into maybe the bottom of the second round. From what you know and what you saw, though, you view him as a fit with the Steelers.
Yeah, I think just in terms of what his talent is and his skill set, yeah, absolutely. And this edge class is not strong. We've talked about that. We'll talk about it probably a million more times before the draft rolls around. So if you're looking, he's not a first round pick. I think we're all in agreement. I don't think there's anybody that would ever think he's a first round caliber player. But if you look at a guy that has kind of that, I think you like to use the phrase, that he has the clay to be molded up, and I think that's what you have with Jordan Jenkins. But he's not raw. I mean, he is refined. He's sound in his run fits. He's a good force player that can spill runs inside, similar to Jarvis Jones. That's where Jarvis Jones excels, is his run defense. So I think Jenkins can be very similar to Jarvis in his run defense, but hopefully, and I think he will bring more as a pass rusher.
Yeah, and I think he's a more physical player, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
college tape versus college tape.
Right. Yeah, I think Jarvis finally starting to figure that out, but like I said, it took him some more time.
Right, and I don't want to spend the whole podcast on Jenkins here, but as far as combine goes, being as how we really didn't see or in the tape that I saw, and maybe you can speak to this in some of the drills that you said. How did you observe him at the Senior Bowl? Turning the corner and ankle flexibility and bend.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head right now. Nothing's really coming to mind in terms of what is kind of in my memory bank right now. I don't think there's anything terrible that stuck out and made me go, oh no, I really see another Jarvis Jones. He's not going to blow anyone away at the combine. I'm probably more curious in his three cone, drill and that change of direction more than I really am a straight 40 time. I think it's probably more important for the edge guys and really anybody than a straight 40 time. I don't know if he'll blow anybody away, metrically. But I think if you put on the tape and if you understand what the Steelers like to do and get out of their system, I think he makes a lot of sense.
Maybe a slight possibility of being kind of a what we'd like to now term as a force player. Statistically, from combine numbers, is there an outside chance that he might put up decent enough, power and explosion numbers to be considered that?
Maybe. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I mean, you got guys like Noah Spence down there that I'm sure are going to just kind of set the bar. I don't think Jenkins is going to be able to match it.
Speaking of Spence, why don't we go ahead and talk about him next? And you've already got the scouting report on him. Character issues aside, and everybody should already know this kid had an ecstasy problem. It does appear in everything that I've read since that time. He really seems to have turned his life around. It seems to have that problem behind him. So character issues, throw those out the door right now. Where is he as a player? What'd you see on tape versus, maybe some time at Ohio State versus lower competition where he was, at otherwise?
I think as a pass rusher, he's going to be the best edge rusher in this class. Watching him down at the Senior Bowl, in terms of how he is getting off blocks in the run game, I think he's refined. He's able to use his hands well to be able to shed and disengage. I think he's a guy that is able to get it mentally, and I still want to see it a little bit more, but he's a guy that sets up his rushers better than what a lot of college guys do. He's able to counter. If he's going to win, with speed a couple times, he's going to counter inside with an inside move, swim over to counter so that tackle can't cheat and can't guess where you're going. I still want to see the variety a little bit more, because I think he will use that speed rush a little too often, and he gets run up the arc, his tackles start anticipating that. But as long as you start seeing some counters and understand that the gears are kind of working in his head once he gets into an NFL system and they really preach that to him and he really sees that firsthand that you have to be, you know, have a variety if you want to win consistently as a pass rusher, I think he'll get it. I'm a little lower on him probably than most. I mean, you know, he's, and I'm quotation marks here, but he's rising up boards in the sense he could go top 10, top 15. I think I've pulled back on that a little bit just because I just don't know a lot about his ability to hold up against the run and set a physical edge and hold the point of attack. I didn't see a lot of that, and what I did see, I don't think that was that great. I want to see him be a little bit more physical, you know, a little bit more violent against the run. I think he gets kind of pushed back and washed a little too easily for my taste. But in terms of a pass rusher, and again, in a weak edge class, I think he's head and shoulders above everybody else, and he had a great Senior Bowl, which was really huge for him.
Jenkins better against the run, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, I would take Jenkins against the run, but Spence, you know, if that's the thing with Spence, though, is just, you know, can he hold up against the run? I think people aren't talking about that enough. I think they're falling a little too much in love with him as a pass rusher, which is great, but, you know, you got to be well-rounded. You got to be able to play, you know, do everything. And it doesn't matter you put them left side or right side, you know, how even-handed teams are. You can't hide these guys anymore. So that's a question mark I do have with Noah Spence, and that's why I kind of devalue him a little bit than what most other people have. A lot of people have him as a top 15. I'm looking at him in my just projection in a vacuum, mid to late first round.
So you could see a scenario where he's on the board 25th overall?
I never count anything out. I thought Bud Dupree was a slam dunk, going to be off the board by the time the Steelers pick. I thought he could even go. I think I had Bud Dupree mocked, I remember number 4 or number 8 last year. I was super high on Dupree, as everybody knows, and he ended up falling. David DeCastro a couple of years ago fell. I didn't think that was going to happen, so I've stopped trying to guess of what's going to happen because I'm just wrong almost every time on it. And if you look at some of the character problems, you look at some of the run defense problems, the lack of length, only 31-inch arms, 74-inch wingspan. Those are very subpar numbers. Our team's going to take him off the board because of that, or the Steelers going to take him off the board because of those factors. That's a possibility. So, you know, I think that there's a chance he could fall more than what people think right now.
Definitely a 3-4 guy as opposed, yeah. I mean, I'm sure some 4-3 teams will look at him, but I mean, he's a 3-4 guy, right?
Yeah, the only 4-3 team that could be interested is someone that runs a hybrid defense that's showing kind of both looks, but he's 3-4. I mean, he does not have the length to be able to play, you know, as an actual 4-3 hand-down defensive end.
Do you buy this screaming up the board? Do you buy that phrase?
No, it's just we don't set the market. You know, you and I and any other YouTube scout or any draft analyst, they're not creating the market. We're just playing catch up to what the professionals guys say, and so we react to that. So it might seem like, you know, they're going up the board, but it's just someone getting some other inside information, changing their board, and then everyone else follows suit, and all of a sudden we have this guy that's screaming up draft boards.
And when it's screaming up draft boards, it's people outside of NFL circles, right? Because scouts already know about these guys,
right? So it's
in my opinion. Sorry to interrupt, but in my opinion, it's just more like, well, us YouTube scouts have finally got around to people actually watching their film instead of regurgitating what everybody else says about a player.
Right. It's either that or, and you know how some of this stuff goes, is one guy gets some inside information from a scout, so he changes his board, and then everybody else has to react to that. So you get, you know, one, you know, big-time Mayock or whoever changes his board, then all the other big-time media guys change theirs, and then all the you know, YouTube scouts change theirs. So there's just that trickle-down effect because one guy kind of started that switch.
Right, and in essence, though, I lose a lot of respect for people that do that. Tell me you haven't watched tape on a guy.
Right.
Tell me that you've just watched cut-ups and this is your initial opinion on him, but not law. Don't try to sell me that, oh, this guy is I watched his tape, but now, you know, at the combine he did this and he's screaming up the draft. Nothing drives me more crazy. Tell me the amount of tape that you watched. Tell me the games that you've watched. and then why this, that, and the other.
And that, that's why I love our stuff at Steelers Depot, because we tell you what games we watch, we provide links to them, you know exactly what we're seeing, we invite you to go see what we see, and if you agree with that, that's great, if not, that's fine too. I love transparency in the draft, I don't think there's enough of it.
And more than anything, we invite people to go watch the tape that we haven't watched.
Right, exactly.
And tell us where we're missing on a certain play. One guy that I'm doing right now, and I want, and I don't know how much film you've watched on him yet so far, but a guy that I'm going to have up on the site here pretty soon, talking about Georgia players, Leonard Floyd. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see what he ends up weighing in at, 6'3", 235 pounds. Initial thoughts, right when you turn on the initial tape on him, is you think that's a kind of a Vic Beasley, trying to think who else would be a good comparison build-wise. Help me out. People would kind of, maybe a, what was the kid that went to Dallas, had the problems, off-field problems.
Not DeMarcus Lawrence.
No.
Randy Gregory.
Yeah, Randy Gregory. Okay. Kind of that build to him, 6'3", 235. Great get off, or I shouldn't say great, a above average get off with Leonard Floyd. Thin, wiry, athletic. One thing that I noticed initially when turning on the Alabama game, he played off the line quite a bit. In fact, out wide and in coverage. He can flip his hips, definitely never going to be confused as a safety or a cornerback in his coverage skills, but he can turn and run. I think his recognition is off there. Really played off the line a lot in that game. I'm thinking, man, what's this guy's fit going to be? And then you turn on the Florida game. I think you turn on maybe the Penn State game as well too, and you kind of see, okay, another guy that's probably going to end up with long arms when he measures in at the combine, because I thought he used those very well. Not the most, even though he plays the run well, not maybe as physical as you would like him to be. Mm-hmm. As far as a pass rusher goes, I see some different counters in there. I think he mostly relies on his speed more so than he does his physicality and his counters. With me. So because of the height, weight, the guy was productive, I as a college player, coming out a year early for sure. I'm not so sure that he couldn't have stood to use another year in college. Mm-hmm. But based on what you've seen and know about Leonard Floyd so far, where are you on him right now?
Honestly, Dave, I haven't watched a second of him. Maybe I've seen him in passing, watching some other guys, but I don't know enough right now, so I'm deferring really to you.
All right, well, those are things that I throw out there to the listeners, and several things that'll be in my scouting report. One guy that you put up on the site this morning, a guy that I think it's rightful for Steeler fans to be excited about, Boise State safety Darian Thompson.
Yeah, I always try to be balanced with the good and the bad, and I really struggled to find a lot of consistent negatives with Darian Thompson. That maybe I'm just not watching the right games or the right competition or what, but I really had difficulty finding some negatives with him. I think he's just as good against the run as he is against the pass. I think he's a physical guy, instinctive, who rallies to the football quickly. He's a great alley defender to come down and support the run. He's got great ball skills, 19 interceptions. I think that's third all time on Boise State's list. He's got 12 in the last 2 years. The guy's, he's done everything. He's played down, in the box. It's kind of a robber technique. He's played single high, two high. He tracks the football well. He closes on the football quickly, creates splash plays. He's got great starting experience. I think everything about him you love. He played in a pretty complex defense that showed some pattern reading. I think if you have him as a strong safety in the NFL, it's probably playing a little bit more underneath than he is playing center field, or at least I think he can be a great center fielder. He's got great ball skills, but maybe that long speed isn't there, so anytime he has to run vertically and match up man-to-man, he might have some issue with some faster guys. But if you could play him as kind of that robber technique we're talking about, playing underneath and reading the quarterback's eyes as a guy that can be a big hitter and make some big splash plays, I think you got a great safety in Darian Thompson. And I know the Steelers don't really take, guys outside of the Power 5 conferences, But if you look at Thompson's game, I think he's going to be right in play with the Steelers at pick 25.
He's going in the first round, right? Can you see scenario where he doesn't?
I do, just because that's kind of my mindset, and I'm always open to those things. I think a lot of people view him as more of a late first, second round pick, so I'm higher on him than probably most. So by no means is it a guarantee that he goes in the first, but for me personally, I think he's a first round pick.
I'm trying to pull up some stuff on him, some extra stats on him as well, too. As far as how do you think he's going to perform in kind of the drills where he has to turn his hips and all?
I don't do this very often, Dave, because I don't like reading other people's stuff before I'm done with my thoughts, because I feel like I don't want it to influence me at all. I want my thoughts to be pure and genuine and 100% mine. But I did look up some other sites because I was really just trying to find some what other negatives on him, and some people think he's a little tight with his hips and flipping. We'll see what, his three cone is. He's not going to blaze in the 40. He's probably going to run maybe a 4.55, somewhere around there. Those athletic stats in a vacuum in the underwear Olympics at Indy, he's not going to blow anybody away, but you turn on the tape and you see a guy that can play.
I think stats has him as 15 missed broken tackles. Let's see what else they have on him. 52% burn rate, was targeted 33 times, gave up 17 burns there. So, not bad for – I mean, look, safeties are going to give up catches, especially depending on their defense that they play. But you really feel that he's probably going to be – of course, we haven't watched the kid out of, what was it, West Virginia?
Carl Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched any film on him yet. But should – I guess my question is should Darian Thompson be considered the best all – excuse me, best all-around safety in this draft?
I don't want to say that far yet just because I'm so far into this, or not far enough into this, and it's so early in this process, but I think he's extremely well-rounded. I think he would, he's definitely going to be on the board at 25. I'd be very surprised if he did come off, just kind of from where other people kind of plug him right now. And I think he's just a guy that really Steelers fans should take a good hard look at, because I think he's going to be I'm just trying to create an early list of players the Steelers could take at 25, and I have a couple others, but Thompson's definitely on that list.
Let's see, we talked about Spence, we talked about Thompson. Any guys you recently do you want to go over?
Just a quick shout out to the little guys like myself, Tyler Irvin, the running back from San Jose State. Probably not going to make any sense for the Steelers because they're not going to target a running back, but just don't look at his size and say he can't be a between the tackles kind of running back. He can be. He's versatile. He's an impact player in the return game. But he runs tough inside. You put him in a zone scheme. I think he's more comfortable on zone runs than he is on gap and ISO runs. But you put him in there, he's going to make some team really, really happy.
Where was it going to go next here? How much tape have you watched of Sue Cravens?
I haven't started yet, but I hear him talked about every single day. The question is, do you view him as a will linebacker? Do you view him as a safety? I think Dave T suggest safety? Is that what he said the other day?
I can't remember.
I think he said to put him.
I have to listen to Dave T like four times.
There's so much going on. Yeah.
Right. What are your initial thoughts on him?
Anytime you get that tweener pick, it gives me pause. It's the same with Jeremy Cash. I really like Jeremy Cash, but I don't see him playing as a cover two safety. I think he's going to have to really do what he's doing now at Duke and really playing that kind of faux linebacker the way that some teams have started to adopt that. I just think anytime that you take a guy that's kind of a tweener and might not have a defined position early in the draft, I think you set yourself up for a lot of risk that's not really worth taking. I think you like to create some definition with the guys that you take early in the draft, and then maybe later rounds you can take a guy that's a little bit of a tweener that you can kind of play around with and have, and develop a little bit more rather than trying to force a guy into a role right away.
The thing that got me the most, and I have not watched three full games on him yet either, but I have jumped around from some highlights from this year, highlights of previous year, and then I more particularly I want to go back and look at his early time at USC as a deep safety. Mm-hmm. He has played some deep safety. Mm-hmm. People say he's not a safety, he hasn't played safety. That's not true. He has played safety. 3 years ago. And in fact, I don't know if people saw, I found all of his interceptions that year. And there's a lot to like about a few of those interceptions there as well, too. I think with him, you have to have a purpose in mind with how you want to use him. Obviously, he can play inside the box. I mean, he's athletic enough to do that. The question I think that teams need to figure out with him is he just going to be a box player, or can you use – now, I don't think you're going to want to use him as a single high safety, but, you know, maybe as a middle-of-the-field cover three or as a cover two guy. I think I saw him play quite a bit of cover two in that first year in the tape that I looked at USC there. Definitely a guy that – well, look, I mean, what was Troy Polamalu? You hate to make the Troy Polamalu comparison, but it's so easy to do, A, because of the way he was used at USC, and B, because he went to USC, right? But, I mean – when you look back, what was Troy Polamalu when he came out?
I mean, he was I think this is what you're trying to get at, but I mean, he was a raw guy that made some mistakes, but was a risk taker, but he made impact plays. And I think Cravens is kind of viewed in a similar light.
He was a box player, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. I mean, you're dating me a little bit. I was a little youngin when Troy first came out, not a huge draft guy. But yeah, I mean, but Troy was, I think you agree, Troy was a much more much better athlete.
Right, right. I'm not going to suggest that Cravens is going to touch some of those numbers, but I think he's going to surprise on a few.
Okay. But are you concerned? Because I feel like what I'm hearing from you is he might be more limited schematically. Are you worried about a guy like that where you can't do some certain things as a defense because you're worried about his own Cravens limitations?
No, I'm actually the little bit opposite. Okay. I think he has less limitations schematically than the way he's being painted.
Okay.
Now. Once again, I haven't watched, he is a guy that you're going to have to go and you're going to have to find three games from 2013. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find three games from 2014. You're going to have to find three games. He's going to really take a lot of – we just can't throw on three games with him, I don't think, from this past season and say this is what he is.
Right. That's fair. That's fair.
But with that said, I don't think – in what I've seen so far, I don't think he's getting – I think people are trying to pigeonhole him too quickly into an outside linebacker in a 4-3.
Okay. No, that's totally fair. Are you putting more stock into what he does at the combine, probably more than most other players?
I think he's going to surprise some people there with some numbers. But no, I'm not going to walk away from the combine and say aha. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Unless he just really, really, really blows it out. Yeah. You know, okay. Unexpected. But, you know, the combines, we talk about it all the time. Combines should be used to back up what we see on tape.
Right.
And if there is anything that jumps out on us, we're supposed to go back to the tape and say, well, why, you know, where is that on the tape?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's going to test well. And and I guess here's the thing here. Did you watch the replay of this of the Super Bowl against the Cardinals the other day on NFL Network?
No, I didn't catch it.
You've obviously seen the game a few times.
Yeah.
It always when you go back and you watch that, man, they love to play a lot of dime, right?
What, Pittsburgh, you're saying?
Yeah.
Especially
in that game. I mean, you had Tyrone Carter, you had Ryan Clark, and you had Troy Polamalu on the field quite a bit in sub package football.
Yeah.
And Troy really around the line of scrimmage a lot. You know, you even saw Troy. You even saw some inverted cover too with Ike Taylor in that game. With Ike Taylor playing the deep safety on one side, with Troy playing the underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
So it amazes me how far away from what Steelers like to do defensively when they were in their prime, in their most recent era or time as a prime, how they've kind of gotten away from that. So I guess what I'm getting at is it wouldn't – now, is Craven – do I think Cravens is a round one guy? Personally, no. But I think he is a round two guy, and I think you really would have to consider him if you had a plan in mind for him talking Steelers specifically in round two. I guess that's where I am on him right now.
That's fair. I just want – I mean, I'm all for – because you need a box guy, and Steelers, they put their strong safety in the box so much. But I just want to make sure I get a guy with enough range because I am a little tired of all just the in-the-box guys the Steelers have had in the last couple of years. You look at, you know, Troy's last year, that's all he was. He was just basically another linebacker. Will Allen basically functioned as just another linebacker this year. I mean, the last when he was healthy the last half of the season, he was in the box. I'll pull up the stat, but he was in the box just all the time. I want to make sure I give someone that gives my defense a little bit more diversity and gives me a little more comfort, you know, as a range player.
I think first round's out of the question for Craven's where I am right now. But, I mean, I invite people, to, you know, that maybe have seen a larger selection of film on him. But I truly feel that in order to get a better feel for Craven's, you're going to have to watch about nine games. And, you know, it takes – I don't know about you, Alex. It takes me probably an hour to an hour and 15 minutes to get through three games.
Yeah. You want to be thorough with it. I mean, because you don't watch – I know we both don't. We both do this. We don't watch the game just once, and that's it. We're going back. We're highlighting specific plays. I'm taking notes as I go along. I'm writing down specific plays of place of interest and things like that. So it's not just watch a 10-minute clip, and it takes 10 minutes to do. It might take a half hour to do.
Yeah, let's kind of end with that on this podcast, kind of how we watch film. And in my opinion, look, here's the good thing is YouTube this year particularly has a great selection of games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should be able to find at least one game on a prospect that you want to watch. And in several instances, you should be able to find three this year. What I like to do is I like to download those from YouTube, and I like to open them up in a player called a VLC player. If you just Google that, you'll find it's a free player. It's absolutely fantastic to use because of the hotkeys that they have. It allows you to jump ahead 10 seconds or 30 seconds in those, I believe. And it really makes going through tape a lot easier. And the thing that you mentioned is A, I already know who I'm focusing on. I know the player. I know his number. I know where he's going to line up or identify where he's going to line up on every play. And there's going to be, you know, at least a third of the plays that really have no bearing on his evaluation. Plays run away from him, you know, quick passes, you know, what have you. But I'm with you. I'm taking notes. I'm writing down the time of plays. I'm writing about what I like, what I don't like. In certain instances, and I find myself on certain plays hitting that back button three, four, five, six times.
Mm-hmm. If you're not doing that, I think you're doing it wrong. Because if you're not looking at it carefully, then you're not really looking at it.
And then there's a player such as Chris Jones out of Mississippi State who I wrote up recently. Sometimes the order of the games that you watch, I think, can sometimes subconsciously fool you. Maybe that's the right word. Maybe it's not.
What do you mean by that?
Watching a game that, look, you go into this thing and you not know what you're going to get from game to game with these guys. Mm-hmm. I turned the Alabama tape on, Mississippi State Alabama game on first with Chris Jones. And I found myself saying, man, I'm not seeing it. You know, and then I think it kind of influences you a little bit going forward into his tape. So what I had to do is I had to step away from him, and I had to go back. And what I did is I watched the games in order, I think, of the way they happened in the schedule there. And I got a little bit better taste in my mouth about Chris Jones. But, I mean, even so, there's enough question marks in there for me to say, man, there's no way he's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, and I think it's what Dave T said as well.
Right, and I even question whether or not he's a second-round guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much you watched, the LSU game?
Yeah, you sent me the one game to look at. I think that's all I've done so far.
And you liked some basic things with him.
Yeah, I think initially I was a little higher on him, but I see the warts, the chase to the ball and you know, kind of giving up on some plays, or if that's conditioning or effort, I'm not sure, but I definitely saw that.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think people have to understand is there's only each one of us is only going to be able to get through so many prospects during the offseason with suitable amount of games. Mm-hmm. You know, and that goes for any of these draft nicks either. I mean, you can sit in a room 24 hours a day doing this. How many prospects are you going to be able to do in a 24-hour span that you effectively, A, get enough games done on them, you know, to make a good analysis on?
Right, right. That's a struggle. When you're evaluating guys, you have a lot of factors at play, your own bias, your own preconceived notions based on things you've heard or just, you know, or what you think from the first couple plays. Even stuff is basic, and it's just the honest truth, race. You know, how you evaluate a black player versus a white player. Of course, every white wide receiver gets called Wes Welker. That's not true, but that's the way they get defined. You know, we know those common kind of tropes that get associated. If you're watching, you know, a ton of guys in one day, are you getting tired? Are your thoughts, are you getting lazier with your evaluation? Are you just, you know, focusing on too many cliches if you're overworking yourself and things like that? You're constantly fighting that, you know, with yourself. And like you said, you know, with the way you watch tape, are you watching the first game and is it not the best representation of that player as a whole, but do you have to fight that bias the rest of the way through? For what I do, just to try to get the best picture possible, and you mentioned it, Dave, I try to look at those games chronologically. So I'll start early in the season and work my way down. I try to pick a game early in the year, middle in the year, later in the year. I want to try to spread stuff out a little bit. Maybe the guy had an injury that I don't know about. Maybe he just had a couple bad weeks. He was sick. He had the flu. Who knows? So you try to give yourself a wider scope of what you're watching with that player, and really looking at it and then being transparent about it. And I think that's all important with the NFL draft.
And I think the thing that aggravates me the most, especially when some people comment on the things that we do, is they say, well, I read this. You know, our scouting reports are likely to be different than a lot of other places because of all the regurgitation that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, with our thoughts, with our, you know, us too, and Josh and Luke, they're genuine, they're pure, and they're backed up with the links we have to the games, with the gifts that we, which I love when we do the gifts, because that shows you, hey, this is a great example of what we're looking at.
And the thing too is, look, I don't mind someone says I read something, mm-hmm. but I've read it too.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
In other words, we would like more in, I guess what I'm getting at here is in the comments, if you're going to comment on a player on a profile that we do, you know, don't base it off of other things you've read. Try to bring something, try to bring a hot take, you know, if you will. Tell us why a certain clip or a certain game or something that you saw on tape versus something that you read. Because if we get into this he said, she said type thing, that's not fair to the player, and it's not fair to me or Alex when you're kind of adding on a comment as far as a player goes. Are you feeling me, Alex, what I'm getting at there?
Yeah, no, I just want things that advance the conversation that you can learn from, that you don't walk away in the same place that you began with. And, you know, and I love the feedback, and by all means, we love every reader at Seagulls Deep, everyone that comments. It's greatly appreciated, more than you know. But I just like talking about the players themselves. You know, sometimes I get asked, well, is he, you know, compare him to player Y, which, I mean, is a valid question at some points, but sometimes I don't think it's the main focus point to look at, or, you know, talk about the school that they played at or whatever. And those are pretty common things we all know. They don't really advance the conversation. So, you know, I just like talking about the players themselves. I don't like talking about, you know, the team that they were on or whatever, you know, what have you. Just let me talk about just as much as we can solely the player. And I think that's the best way to advance the conversation and have a healthy dialogue.
With that said, who do you got coming up next on the site?
Well, today, Darian Thompson, Bryce Williams went up. Two guys I'm very, very different on. I love Darian Thompson and Bryce Williams. I'm just not very high on at all. I'm working on another tight end that I do like a lot, Henry Krieger-Koble, who was also down at the Senior Bowl. I think he could be, you know, I don't know if the Steelers are going to have interest in a tight end, you know, with the Jesse James development, or if they have interest in a tight end, is it going to be just a real high first, second round? So maybe Krieger-Koble doesn't really fit in there, but I really like him. Next couple of days, I have a couple Stanford kids coming out, Josh Garnett, who I love.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I love me some Josh Garnett. Great guy at the Senior Bowl, too. And then I'll do a little quarterback play. Kevin Hogan out of Stanford, a guy with a big arm, a gunslinger, but probably one of the weirdest throwing motions in this year's draft.
And as I mentioned, I have Leonard Floyd coming up on the site. I don't know who I'm going to be hitting after that, but I'll have Floyd done either today or tomorrow up on the site. And I know Josh and I know Luke are pounding these things out as well, too. So we invite you to keep checking the site. You should see at least one or two a day, hopefully moving forward as we get closer on into the combine, which now really hard to believe, less than what, 2 weeks away for the combine, and we'll be tracking that as we usually do, all the times and measurables, and you should almost get those up to the minute. You know, because I like to do those kind of in real time with the spreadsheets and all as well, too. So I invite all of you to stick close to Steelers Depot as far as that coverage goes moving forward here into the offseason. Alex, I appreciate your time today. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We might get you back on Friday. We'll see what David's doing. By then, we'll have probably a few more players to discuss here. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. Follow my co-host David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email us, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Like Alex said, we invite all your comments on the site there on these player profiles. Try to add something to the conversation to progress the conversation if you do so as well. Alex, once again, thank you. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.